John, thank you so much for speaking to us this morning.
No worries. I mean, obviously it is much, much better to have Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump talking about where to have the mutual hamburger of peace than to have nuclear threats and the words, the real nuclear threats. I mean, both of them were basically threatening to incinerate the other, being tossed back and forth between two countries, both of which have access to large nuclear weapons.
It is a pretty wild situation. You've said in the past this meeting will be a seismic event, but the opportunity shouldn't be wasted with unrealistic expectations. Could you expand on that a little bit for us?
Yeah, sure. I don't think one meeting is in any way going to solve all the problems between Kim Jong-un, between North Korea and the United States. There has been absolutely decades of hostility between the DPRK and the United States. However, it's clear that underneath that, the DPRK would prefer to have a very, very different relationship, a non-adversarial relationship with the US of A. And rather than laying on top of the meeting expectations like you're going to denuclearize tomorrow, which frankly is not going to happen. We've had this paradox that the demand that the DPRK denuclearize itself becomes the trigger for the possible actual use of nuclear weapons. So rather than having that up there, it's important to take a much more low-key approach and to say, okay, what steps can we take towards each other that will bring the tension down and enable more or less normal relationships between our two countries, and in the context of no tension, normal relationships between the two countries, then we can talk about things like denuclearization.
And you're right, it is a really tense relationship that the two countries do have. Do you feel like there are any steps that either country could negotiate to de-escalate some of these tensions?
Well, the mere fact that a meeting between the two heads of state is even being talked about immediately changes the dynamic of the situation. And that's why I very much differ from people who say, we don't want talks without concrete, verifiable steps towards denuclearization, or we don't want talks for the sake of talks. And I immediately say, well, yes, we do want talks for the sake of talks, because once you're talking, then you're no longer exchanging threats of mutual incineration. And so as soon as you change that dynamic, then the possibility of talking about more constructive sorts of things, like lowering the tensions on the Korean Peninsula, like restoring relationships in North and South Korea and so on. All of those sorts of things immediately pop up. And it's interesting to me that, in fact, the first step in this was taken by the South Korean president, who reached out to Kim Jong-un, and Kim Jong-un reached right back. And from that point on, this diabolical spell was broken. Now, to me, the danger in the situation is that the United States, that the Trump administration, will either, before the talks even get going, keep laying on these unrealistic expectations. And if that happens, there's a danger that the talks will just sort of disappear, that they'll vanish, they won't happen. Or that Donald Trump does something really daft in the talks. And those, I think, are the two dangers in the current situation. But that talks are being talked about and that a meeting is being talked about, that's an unambiguous positive. And it is an opportunity that we must not squander.
And speaking of Trump, you know, he's always been a little bit of a loose cannon, or at least, you know, seen to be. And I guess, you know, now he's a loose cannon with nukes. Meanwhile, yeah. Kim Jong-un, he's a dictator with, I guess, you know, not a lot of regard for his own people. But we're not really sure just how canny an operator he really is. So I guess in this situation...
Well, I think the evidence is that, in fact, Kim Jong-un is an exceedingly canny operator. I think he's way more canny than Donald Trump is. Now, that doesn't apply any kind of approval for his regime and for the way he operates and so on. And there are clearly things that Kim Jong-un has done that have also ratcheted up the tension. But on the whole, I would say that Kim Jong-un has known not only when to blink, but he's known how to blink so it doesn't look like he's blinking. So I credit him with a degree of canniness and sophistication that I don't think Donald Trump has. And Kim Jong-un clearly knows more about Donald Trump than Donald Trump knows about Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. I suppose, you know, moving forward, do you see any potential outcome where either country actually does end up giving up their prized nuclear program?
Well, I mean, ultimately, what we want to look at is both countries denuclearizing, not just one country denuclearizing. And the United States, like the overwhelming majority of countries in the world, is a signatory to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, and Article 6 of the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty contains in it a commitment to denuclearize, and really it contains a commitment to have denuclearized as of about 30 years ago. So, you know, there is a commitment to denuclearize there, not only on the North Korean side. And, I mean, it's also worth noting that North Korea may have 60 warheads, of which maybe somewhere between 3 and 6 warheads are large thermonuclear warheads. Now, the United States has a number of, has 4,000-plus warheads, as does Russia. And the United States and Russia, between them, have the almost unique ability to make the planet uninhabitable in an hour and a half or less. And there's roughly a dozen occasions on which they've come within minutes of doing just that. And the North Koreans are not yet, and probably never will be, in quite that category. So you're looking at both a symmetry and an asymmetry there. The United States and Russia have a unique responsibility to denuclearize so that the human race can keep on keeping on. And if that doesn't happen, then ultimately, one way or another, the unspeakable is likely to happen.